I just want to now quickly introduce my brilliant colleague from the USC School of Music, whose expertise is film music, but she really has kind of multiple parts to her career, both performance and, but she's really specialized and, in fact, has a big new book coming out on the history of music and film. And she's here to talk about a couple of more gems from the USC News Film Library Movie Tone Collection. Please welcome Julie Hubbard.
By the 1920s, in the United States and abroad, advances in science and technology had begun to have a profound impact on all of the arts, but on music in particular. Composers, for instance, were becoming increasingly interested in reflecting what they heard as the noisy preoccupations of modern life, a life in which technology was now becoming routine. They literally filled their musical compositions with the sounds of trains, planes, and automobiles, and more. Satie's music for the 1919 ballet Parade, for instance, called for typewriters, gunshots, sirens, and lottery wheels. American composer George Antheil crowded the stage of his Ballet Mécanique in 1924 with a host of new musical instruments, air raid sirens, alarm bells, train whistles, and airplane propellers. Edmund Wilson's proposed super ballet Cronkite's Clocks in 1925 would have included not only appearance of Charlie Chaplin, but a musical score with pneumatic pile drivers, riveting machines, steam engines, telephones, electromagnetic doorbells, train whistles, and car horns. All of these pieces incorporated film. At the same time that composers were literally transporting bits of found technology onto the concert stage, however, inventors were working to expand music's sonic palette with the introduction of new musical instruments. In the early 1900s and 1910s, several new mechanical instrument surfaced, each enjoying varying degrees of success. In 1913, the American Piano Company, their player piano, won instant fame and popularity. But other inventions, like Italian composer Luigi Rossolo's mechanical noise generations, or Intonare Mori, and Thaddeus Cahill's massive teleharmonium, a 200-ton instrument which used hundreds of tone wheels to produce musical sounds with electrical signals. These mechanical instruments were short-lived and ultimately failed. With the development of radio technology in the 1920s, however, came a rush of fresh experimentation. Some of this new interest in mechanizing or electrifying music was inspired by inventor Lee DeForest, whose Audion, or beat frequency oscillator, generated an electric current capable of producing a musical tone. Now, film scholars know DeForest for his contributions that he made to sound film in the mid-20s, but his Audion oscillator, which he described in his 1915 patent simply as electrical means for producing musical notes, this oscillator inspired the invention of numerous musical instruments that directly harnessed electricity and light to produce music. The ready availability of oscillators, vacuum tubes, amplifiers, this stuff of radio, this paved the way for the invention of a profusion of electronic and electromagnetic instruments in the late 1920s and early 30s. Some of these instruments are still well known today, and they survive and are being played. Instruments like the theremin and the Ohms Martineau, the trautonium, if you really look, and the Hammond organ. Other inventions from this period, however, have been forgotten and have vanished altogether. Instruments like the sphaerophone, the dynaphone, the staccatone, the piano rad, the rhythmicon, the variophone, the emiratone, the emicon, the giveley, the electric radio piano, I could go on for several more minutes. Each of these instruments used electricity and in light in some cases in different ways. Some of these instruments used it to modify the sound of an already existing acoustic instrument, like, for instance, this instrument I want to show you about in just a minute, which looks to be an ordinary piano, but listen closely. It's in fact an invention from 1928 called the Canto Piano Organ. And could we roll the tape on this one? Thank you. was an electromagnetic device developed by French harpist Marcel Tournier and piano manufacturer Gabriel Gaveau. Sets of electromagnetic pickups were attached to the strings inside the grand piano, and these pickups turned the piano into this cathedral-like sounding church organ by transmitting the vibrations of the piano strings to a set of tuned reeds which vibrated in sympathy. The footage of this instrument was shot in Paris in 1928, also reminding us that in really up until about the mid-1930s, Paris was the center of European production of mechanical and electrical musical instruments. Other new musical inventions were not just used not just electricity, but light to generate musical tone, as in the case of the Hardy-Goldwaith organ, invented around 1930 by MIT professor Arthur C. Hardy, who based his instrument on the ideas of a New York inventor named Duval Goldwaith. As Professor Hardy himself will explain in this Fox Movie Tone news story shot at MIT in 1931, this instrument, to which he says no name has yet been given, uses light striking a photoelectric cell to generate sound and musical tones. The light is controlled and modified by a gate and by a rotating glass wheel etched with a varying wave pattern in it. All of the instruments in the orchestra, he'll tell you, and as you'll hear in this film, the sound of an organ, are generated by these glass discs, each with a different varying wave pattern etched onto them. In this wonderful Movie Tone News film, the Hardy-Goldwaith organ is transformed from an ephemeral instrument, from a footnote in the history of electronic music, into an important step in the development of the modern music synthesizer. This film also illustrates the central role women had in emerging technology, just like the vast pools of women typists that were revolutionizing the American workplace at the beginning of the century. The uncredited keyboard player here in this film reminds us of the important role women played in the development of all sorts of digital technologies. So here's a Fox Movie Tone News story from 1931, Scientist Invents New Musical Instrument.
This new musical instrument, to which no name has yet been given, was developed here at Technology as part of a research program. The heart of the instrument is a glass disc which rotates in a beam of light between a small lamp and a photoelectric cell. When a note is depressed, the shutter opens and allows the light to enter the photoelectric cell where the currents generate the sound.
Ready there? I'll wait for you.
This new musical instrument produces its sounds by means of a beam of light which passes from this small lamp through a rotating glass disc into a photoelectric cell. When a note is depressed, the shutter opens and the light is allowed to strike the cell where it generates electric currents that produce the sound. By a slight modification in the construction of this disc, this instrument can be made to sound like most of the instruments in an orchestra. This particular record is made to simulate the tone of a pipe organ. We will now play a short selection on the organ. But before doing so, we will replace the cover in order to shield the very sensitive photoelectric cell from the daylight. By a slight modification in the construction of this disc, this instrument can be made to simulate the sounds of most of the instruments in an orchestra. This particular record is made to sound like a pipe organ, and we will now give you a short demonstration.
A big thanks to the Newsroom Library crew, to Scott Allen, Ben Singleton, Greg Wilsbacher. Thanks very much for helping me get these images up on the screen, guys.
First, I want to make sure our next guest of honor is here, because in the commotion of the evening, I have not even had a chance to say hello or meet. I'm very thrilled to be able to welcome Caroline Martel. There was a lot of discussion. Is it Caroline, Caroline, Carolina, Carol? Who visits us from Montreal to present this fantastic new poetic experimental documentary about the history of telephone technology. I guess if it wasn't obvious before we saw those last three clips, there is a relationship between the history of technology and gender, isn't there? Which is in part about what this wonderful film is about. And I do recall that, I don't know how long ago it was, 4 or 5 years ago, I got an email from you saying, I have an idea to make a film, and Rick Preilinger has showed me this marvelous material. Would this be of interest to you? So this is a very happy fruition of a conversation that began long ago. So I'm very pleased to welcome from Montreal, Caroline Martel, to introduce her film. And we'll have question and answer after the film as well. So please welcome Caroline.